reading from chapter 13, verses 26 through to chapter 14, verse 10. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you have sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites lived in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes, in our own eyes rather, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the Israelites. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit Joseph into your hands as he's about to bring your word to the people. Father God Almighty, we pray, O Lord, that the words of his mouth, the meditations of his heart, be acceptable in your sight. We also pray that, Lord, that us that will be hearing him, we will hear and be doers to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. It's a good morning. And I do see that some of the people, some of the mission team that we sent to Canada are here with us. It's lovely to see you. Welcome back again. I understand that they had a good time, and we'll have, I believe, in the coming days, possibly next Sunday or another suitable time, we have a full report of how things went in Canada. Lovely. Once again, for those who might not know, my name is Joseph, my last name is Mutamba, and I'm one of those people who helps with things here and there in the absence of Pastor Joely, who went to Canada with the mission for the mission in Canada. And now, today I've been asked to speak over the topic, overcoming the impossible. Now, I would like to say that basically a lot of what I want to say really has already been said. In the songs we sang this morning, Whom Shall I Fear? You Never Let Go. Waves of Mercy, Waves of Grace. We have sung fantastic songs that basically give the answer to this subject, overcoming the impossible. Now, as we go through this topic, I would like us to just remember in the background that grace. That is crucial. As we journey through this story, we will see things that are tough. But I want us to remember that our God is gracious. His grace will see us through. Okay, are we agreed on that one? Grace. If you should take anything from this sermon, remember grace. Grace will see us through as we work with our God. Now, overcoming the impossible, you can see on the, I've got a number of slides which we will go through. We will meet a nation that's about to enter a promised land. But before they go through that nation, there are some challenges they've got to work with. And that's that image there on the left representing the challenges that they've got to sort of negotiate before they can reach the promised land. Also, I would like us to bear in mind the message, the words that Christ left with us. There was a discussion, a talk that was going on, and he looked to his disciples and he said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let's go to the next slide. Now, here are some key words. I just want to check if I am on. Am I on this? It's on this one. Yeah, because last time I was moving away from the mic and the recording went not all the best. Okay, here are some words that I sort of going through the text, I picked up as highlights of what was going on there. Words that sort of bring up the issues that were going on. The word explore, which can be interpreted to mean reconnaissance, survey, observe, explore the land, explore the people there. Fruit of the land, cities are fortified and very large. Anak, also known as giants or descendants of the Nephilim. And then there was this expression, we can certainly do it. Do not be afraid, which means trust God. But there was also grumbling, pessimism, which led to defeatism. And then there was a decision or talk to say, let's go back to Egypt. We can't do this. They wanted to abort the mission. They wanted to go back to captivity. And then you've got the expression there, 40 days, which eventually translated to 40 years. 40 days. They used 40 days to explore the land, and that eventually translated to 40 years wandering in the desert. Next slide, please. An overview of some of the things we're going to be going through. Story outline. We do a bit of flashback to see what was happening before these things happened. And then we'll look into who were Joshua and Caleb. What distinguished them from the rest of the people? And then we'll do some reflections, and then we'll close there. Next slide. So here's the story outline. There on your right, you can see roughly the geography once again. Those red lines there, they show the path that the 12 spies took to go into the land, explore, and come back. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent 12 spies to explore the land of Canaan. The investigation of about 500 miles to and fro took them 40 days to complete. And then 10 of the 12 spies proved to be fearful of attacking the Anakites living in Hebron and began to spread a bad report about giants and the land, saying the land devours its inhabitants and that the Israelites, were no match against the giants of the land. Caleb and Joshua tried unsuccessfully to convince the people that with the Lord's help, they could take over the land. God was unhappy about the refusal of the Israelites to take over the promised land. And then, as we know, the rebellion against God led to 40 more years of wandering outside the land of milk and honey, wandering outside the primary will of God. Next slide, please. Now, we do a bit of a flashback to see what has been happening before the sending of the spies and the report from the spies. A background check reveals a very grumpy people in general. Now, this is not condemning or blaming, but this is just picking up the facts, things that we saw that were happening before the spying of the land. And there's a list of things there that register basically how the people were quite grumpy. At Marah, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" And then I'm just going to sort of not read everything, just go through quickly. At Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron opposed Moses. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard that. So there was a culture of shifting away from trusting God. So that's the background we find with these people, a culture of shifting away from trusting God. Next slide, please. Now, another flashback. They mentioned that they saw the descendants of Anak. Now, I want to see a little bit, who were these? A quick check on the feared descendants of Anak reveals the following. We saw the Nephilim there. That's the statement from some of the spies. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. And then we do a quick check again. We find that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. That's from Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. So the Bible does testify that there were some sort of giants. And then if you fast forward, God later in Amos, many years after this event we're looking at, God was saying, "Yet I destroyed the Amorites before them, though they were tall as the cedars and as strong as the ox. I destroyed their fruit above and their roots below." And that illustration there on the right is somebody's sort of imagination as to how big were these sort of giants. It's just somebody's imagination. And of course, I think if you were to meet one of those, you would have second thoughts about negotiating with them. So that's the background. Next slide, please. Now, we also see that God had revealed himself repeatedly to these people, demonstrating his ability to deliver. So he had shown the people that I can do this. I am the one who is seeing it through. And so there's a list of things there that remind us that these people had seen what God can do for them. The 10 plagues inflicted on Egypt, the opening up of the waters of the Red Sea, so the Israelites walked on dry land, and then there was a visible cloud by day, which by night looked like a pillar of fire, which was helping them find their way to the promised land. And then, of course, they had the food from heaven, food from above, manna. What is it? That's the translation of manna. What is it? What is this? And then the supply of birds, the quails for meat. So there was a lot of evidence, a lot of demonstration by God that I'm with you. This is my mission. Just work with me. I'll take you there. And again, God has spoken, saying he would see them through to the promised land. And the Lord's viewpoint was that when the people began to rebel and say, no, we can't do this, we can't go there, God said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I have performed among them? Basically saying, you haven't come this far in your own strength anyway. I'm helping you. So what's the problem? Next slide. Now, let's look at Joshua and Caleb. What made them stand out? Now, why is it that Joshua and Caleb had a positive attitude about entering the promised land despite knowing that descendants of Anak lived in Hebron? When we look at the life of Joshua, we notice that he stayed close to God, assisting Moses. The scripture tells us that. This way, Joshua proved faithful in small things. He developed a relationship with God. And as we know, Joshua later led the new generation of the Israelites into the promised land. Joshua's attitude was, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So he came from that sort of commitment. We will serve the Lord. So that distinguished him from the crowds. And at the age of 40, Caleb gave an honest report about the promised land they spied. Then at the age of 85, Caleb went to Bethel. Now this is interesting. At the age of 85, that is, they'd spent 40 years in the desert. So after 45 years of this rebellion, Caleb led a group of people that fought the descendants of Anak. And he secured the promised inheritance successfully by the hand of God. In your own time, you can go to Joshua 14, chapter 14, verses 6 to 15, and you'll find what the fantastic things that that Caleb did at 85 years of age. Next slide. So those are the sort of things that sort of distinguish these two men, Caleb and Joshua. Now let's do a bit of reflection here. Biblical scripture interprets itself. Scripture interprets scripture. This piece of Israeli history is reviewed over and over in later scriptures, in the Psalms, in the book of Hebrews. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4, we see an interpretation of what was actually going on. And we see a bigger picture, a far better promised land that we are all now are waiting for. So God invites us to enter the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. So the things that happened to Israel about entering the physical promised land in the Middle East, they're like a foreshadow of what God was doing for the whole world. Now, as we know, the whole world is waiting for the promised land through Jesus Christ. That's the big picture. But entry into the promised land is not possible in our own strength. Like Joshua and Caleb, we need to trust God to help us enter the promised land. The consequences of aborting mission were grave, far-reaching, both for God and mankind. Remember, he had promised Abraham, I'll take you to the promised land. And to abort mission was just not acceptable. And hence the compromise to spend 40 years in the desert. We notice that though there be delays, God eventually brings his people to a place of rest. He eventually accomplishes his mission. The key to overcome the humanly impossible is to stay close to God, to give our heart over to God for safekeeping. And we've got lots of examples. We got Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Hannah, Samuel, Esther, Ruth, David. The list is long. These men and women, they have one thing in common. Of course, they knew that there are things that they can't do in their own strength. But they knew the one who can do things for them. It's like children. Children, how they trust their parents. And how they say, oh, my dad can do that. Oh, my mom can do that. Because they believe, they trust that their parents can do things. And this is the kind of
trust that God wants us to enter with him. That, yeah, we are small against the giants of life. But God will do things for us. God will make a way. God will make us soar on wings like eagles. Next slide, please. We've seen that there is a condition of the heart that does not make way for God's power to work victory in our behalf, a condition that takes us away from God's best for us. I would like to just read Psalm 81 there, just quickly. Psalm 81, from verses 13 to 16. This is God speaking. He says, if my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with the honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. We notice that fear drives us to captivity, wandering in the desert. But a heart open to God calls, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This is key. This is key. This is what makes the difference. This is, I believe, where Caleb and Joshua were. They cultivated a close relationship with God, and so they walked in true freedom, unmoved by the opposing giants of a passing world. The love of God attracts a courageous presence, fearless in a very healthy way, boldness from God, unpolluted. Let us open our hearts wide to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. We want to thank you, God, for who you are. We admit, we acknowledge, we confess once again that we are not faithful. But we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you know and understand all our weaknesses, and that your passion for us, your love for us, even as we sang this morning earlier on, you never let go. You keep working on us. You keep showing us your mercies. You keep showing us your grace so that you may take us to the land of rest. That promised land, that place of everlasting peace, everlasting residence with you. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We will move straight to...